5 minutes after 1 o'clock. Before we get to today in the NFL, Clark Johnson just came to me, brought us a pretty tough story. Clark, of course, our Preps radio guy here. I've got an inside scoop, and we're going to have Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com on to join us in a few moments. Buck Coors, who was the quarterback or was the quarterback for Resurrection Christian, now trying to work his way up, is a cornerback or the nickelback for Wyoming, was moving up the depth chart like crazy, was just told he was going to be a big part of this team, and he had a broken leg. He just had a broke his leg today. So the redshirt freshman was repping this offseason at the nickelback spot behind a starter, Keontae Glinton. Craig Bohl, head coach for the Cowboys, said it's unfortunate, but he'll be back next year. One of the things that did hurt about losing Buck, I mean beyond his name, which is a Wyoming guy through and through, not that I drink Coors beer, I mean he was really making great strides in that part of the walk-on program. You know, without question, the nickel spot is important. It's an everyday player in our league. So, rough news, injury news decorating the day for Wyoming. Also, running back Jeremy Hollingsworth, ACL. Air Force transfer TJ Urban, another ACL injury. They're the only three known season-ending injuries this offseason. So, Alabama transfer Keelan Cox, last Monday, suffered a fractured hip. The defensive end is expected to miss 2 months. So, rough go for Wyoming. We'll have Cody on to join us in a few moments about that. But, Angel, why don't we jump over and get today in the NFL, the National Football League. Interesting stories decorate. I want to go through standings and stuff today. That's going to be fun. So, how about this? Let's just bust through it. CBS came out with their division winners, their division predictions. AFC West. Let's play a little game, Angel. I won't go into too many crazy details, but we'll just go AFC West. Who do you think they have winning the AFC West?
Chargers?
No.
Raiders?
No.
Chiefs?
Yes. But they have the Chiefs. Okay, let me give it over under 10 games. Chiefs?
Over.
10 and a half is what they're giving them. Over under 10. Chargers?
Over.
10. Over under wins 10 for the Broncos?
Under.
Oh, 10. 10.
Over. Why am I guessing at this point?
Over under 10 for the Raiders?
Over?
Under.
Under. Not a great start. This isn't my division. I don't know.
8.5 for the Raiders. They predict that Russell Wilson will be the top fantasy target. Travis Kelce for the Chiefs. Devontae Adams for the Ravens. And Austin Eckler, another local guy, set to be their top fantasy earner. How about that? AFC East. Here you go. This is your wheelhouse. Over under 10 for the Buffalo Bills.
Probably over.
Yeah, 11.5. Over under 10 for the Miami Dolphins. It's your
team.
I'm
going to say it's right at 10. I'm going to say over, but I'm going to say their guess is at 10. Under 10?
8.5.
That's so disrespectful. Tell me you don't watch the Dolphins without telling me you don't watch the Dolphins.
What's your bet? They have to be above 500?
Above 500 or I do a Mohawk.
8 wouldn't get them there.
No, you got to be 9.
You got to be 9 with the new stuff. So, because you'd watch if it was the old time, if it was 8. Patriots, over under 10.
Probably over because media just loves them.
They don't, apparently. 8.5. They're right there with your Dolphins. It's probably because they're mixing the play calling and all that stuff.
That's Bill's strategy
they don't
there.
They know their offensive core. Over under 10 for the Jets.
Oh, that's way under.
Over under 6.
Oh, I'm going to go under.
Yeah, 5.5 for them. Josh Allen, Tyreek Hill projected to be the fantasy stud there. Hunter Henry and then Breece Hall for the Jets. How about the AFC North? Over under 10 for the Baltimore Ravens.
Over?
Slightly under, 9.5. They have no idea what they're talking about. Obviously, they don't know Lamar Jackson and what he's capable of. He's like an angry cat, cornered. He's mad. He's going to come out clawing. Cincinnati Bengals, over under 9.5. They're 9.5. I didn't think you were paying attention. Over under 10.
Under?
Yeah. Cleveland.
Way under.
Yeah, 9.5. They don't love this division to dominate. AFC North. Pittsburgh.
under.
Yeah, 7.5. Nobody's over 10 in that division, according to CBSSports.com. AFC South. Houston, over or under 10 wins.
Ooh. Over under like 3, maybe?
Yeah, it's like 4.5.
Okay.
Colts.
Under 10.
9.5. You're getting pretty good on this. Jacksonville.
Under.
6.5. Tennessee.
I'd say right at like 9.5.
9.5 it is.
Woo!
You're getting stronger. NFC West. Cardinals.
9.5.
9. Man, you're right there, though. You're right in the wheelhouse here. Rams.
Over 10.
Yeah, 10.5. You get bonus points if you get it, if you guess it correctly. San Francisco.
9.5.
10. Seattle.
6.
You're right on the money, but clearly they don't know how to lock it up. Lock that up, CBS. That's way over 6. What? Maybe 7. If you get Mr. Locke in there. NFC East. Cowboys.
9.5.
10.5. Giants.
7.
7. Right on the money. You're nailing these. Eagles.
10.5.
9.5. Close, though. Commanders.
7.5.
7.5 is exactly right. Wow. You are, now that you're getting going here. NFC North, the Bears.
6.
And a 1. Yeah! There we go. Detroit.
Ooh. 4.5.
6.
Everyone's a little higher on Detroit, I think.
Yeah.
They got the Hard Knocks crowd coming
in.
It's
weird. I don't know. The Packers. Ooh. I don't know why I said it like that.
It's fun. Eating a half deer, buddy.
11. They don't. Devontae who is what they say. Devontae who? Minnesota. Our boy Brian's team.
Brian's team. Let's go 8.5.
9. Atlanta in the NFC South. Moving on to the NFC South.
This has got to be like 3.
Who's your quarterback? Is it
Marcus Mariota?
Is it really? Top fantasy target, Kyle Pitts. Carolina.
6.
6.5. Atlanta's 5, by the way. Saints.
See them 8.5?
Yeah, 8. Close. Tampa Bay.
10.
We don't know where Tommy Bones is, but we have no idea. Where is he? Where in the world is Tom Brady? 11.5. And that is it. I just realized I went through them all. All right, there we go. That's today. I thought that would be fun. Just go through what the movers and shakers at CBSSports.com have to say. Man, you are a big Miami guy now. So you weren't always a Miami guy, but you followed your boy.
No, I will admit. I mean, it's weird about NFL. If you're not if you just become an NFL fan, you're suddenly a bandwagon. I mean, like, there's new players every year. I never had a team before this.
Yeah.
So I had to pick one.
Yeah, because you followed.
I followed my guy Tua and. That's how close?
So why didn't you follow Mac at all? Like, just...
Well, Tua was there first.
Okay.
Tua had, you know, a walk-off championship, kind of just, you know, fell in love with his arm and his talent and just the kind of person that he is. And he was, you know, came and took the job from Jalen Hurts. Mac Jones was his backup for a bit. And I love Mac. Don't get me wrong. I love Mac Jones. It's just, if he was anywhere else but New England, I would still be like, yeah, he's a good guy. But he's a Patriot, so I can't say that.
You just can't do it.
Can't do it.
What other? Well, and again, as good as Alabama is, how many Alabama quarterbacks really make it?
Joe Namath.
Yeah.
And Ken Stabler.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
Is that because everything around Alabama is so upper echelon that the quarterback doesn't have to be as good? Because they always have, like, it feels like a pro offensive line. I mean, they're always churning out O-line and D-linemen.
Sure, and I think it's partially because of Saban's system that he ran early on before he got guys like Kiffin and Sarkisian to come in that kind of changed it. But he ran a very pro-style offense. So you had your running back, you had your receivers that could, you know, make plays. And those are the guys that got the recognition. And now you're starting to see more and more of these quarterbacks come up. Obviously, you know, Bryce Young could be the number one overall pick next year.
Yeah, that's interesting. Boy, that is... I always think that that's crazy with Alabama because as many good players as
there's
churn out.
There's like 15 receivers, bunch of defense. Like I told you, I made a Madden team of all Alabama players.
Yeah. That's cool. And that's fun.
They're
we're
like
talking about
too.
We need to take a vote on this because I have an Xbox One. You have a PS4. And I need a new Madden friend because Tanner's outgrew my friend, our friendship.
Are you beating him too much?
I'd like to say that, and that's true. He's not very good anymore. But he's too busy with stuff. He's, you know, cats in the cradle kind of thing.
He's got those cows to take
care of. He's got cows. He's got girlfriend. He's got a roommate. I don't know why that matters, but apparently keeps him busy. And he's just too, he golfs. He plays softball. I don't do anything, Angel. I stay home and, you know, I'm a family man. And when they go to bed, I play Madden football or watch football, which, you know, that's more important. But we're talking about forming an alliance here and playing and making Tanner just jealous too. That's number one.
Madden 23 came out, I believe, yesterday.
So it's on the market. You're debating whether to switch consoles because they got. So I still haven't got the new Xbox. I call it the new Xbox, but it feels like it was new. I still have an Xbox One. But if you got a new Xbox, we'd still be able to cross platform. I think, right?
Yeah. So there's the Xbox Series S, which is like a lesser version of the newer version. And then there's a Series X, which is the highest model you can get. And then there's the PS5, which I've always been a PlayStation guy. I've had, like, from the PlayStation 1 up until now. But you can't find them. And they're also very expensive.
Yeah, so if it helps, I don't have any plans on buying the new... If I do switch, probably not going to happen for a little bit. So if you wanted to form an alliance and go win championships, maybe you do consider... Yeah, but I don't want to sway you because, again, this is a decision. This is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your life.
Truly.
I mean...
When I got my PS4, I've had it for 5 years now.
Yes.
It's a part of me.
It's a huge decision. When I was younger, I switched from PlayStation to Xbox. I mean, it was crazy. It was earth-shattering. It was all over the news the next day. In the Cheyenne Wells Range Ledger is the paper there. Pretty sure it was because there wasn't a lot of news that day. 17 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Jade Spades texting in from college. He says, hey, did you guys hear about the Pirates player who had his phone in his pocket? He just received a suspension and a fine. So he didn't get fined for that.
I didn't see that, but I saw Melvin Gordon had his phone in his sock.
Did he really?
And a Broncos reporter thought he had an ankle wrap on. And he tweeted, no, that's my cell phone.
That's my cell phone. I thought the Pittsburgh player, like, why is it even out with you in the dugout in the first place? And I get it if you're expecting, like I said this last week, if you're expecting big news or sad news or whatever, shouldn't you have one of the staff be informing you that they're going to be your contact? I just feel like if it's game time.
To the bat boy or something. Like, hey, Jimmy, onto this.
Yeah. And if it's that severe, then you're probably not playing that day.
Right.
You know, there's 4 million baseball games. I think they'll survive one without you. So he got a suspension fight because it's a bad look. It's a bad look for Major League Baseball.
Who's to say we don't see a baseball player live streaming his at-bat?
Yeah. Oh, and all of that. And then it's also like from a fan perspective, it's like, wow, baseball's so riveting. That dude's just sitting in there scrolling his Facebook feed in the dugout. What's he doing with his cell phone? 18 minutes after the hour, Cody Tucker coming up next. He's our Wyoming Cowboys insider from 7220sports.com, so we'll be excited to talk to him. Unfortunately, we have some rough news about a local standout player. We'll get to that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Is that any better for you, Cody?
Man, that is my love language, Brady.
We're getting a new producer, by the way. He gets it back there. Not that Jade didn't, but this guy, you know, he knows a thing or two.
Not bad. Not bad at all, my friend.
We got to make you feel welcome. Cody, I hate to start with rough news, but you and I were talking about Buck Coors 2 weeks ago and how he's moving up the depth chart, and we love this kid. I mean, he was our player of the week here playing for Resurrection Christian so often, so we were certainly excited to follow him. But we received some terrible news. I was just reading about it at 7220sports.com.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, Craig Bull talked about how when you go live, you know, these things happen and you just kind of hold your breath. And unfortunately, he was just talking about Buck last week. And, you know, Craig Bull played his college football at Nebraska under Tom Osborne, which as a walk-on, and the walk-on program was so big in Lincoln, and Craig has really brought that here. And Buck was one of those walk-ons that he's really proud of and really happy for. And it's just unfortunate he suffered a broken leg during their 99-play scrimmage on Saturday inside War Memorial Stadium. But on the bright side, there's only three guys so far that are out with season-ending injuries, which is pretty good, I mean, all things considered. So tough loss for them. The nickel spot definitely took a hit in the depth department, that's for sure.
Yeah, and like you said, the number of injuries, that's a solid point. But where was Buck as far as, you know, you said it, I think 2 weeks ago, you said he was moving up. It was looking like he was going to continue to move up that depth chart. What was it realistically looking like before he broke his leg?
It was looking really good, actually. Keontae Glinton will be the starter at corner, and I'm actually writing a story about him later. His main job last year against Colorado State was to cover that McBride fella, and he did a pretty nice job, including snagging an interception down there in Wyoming's territory. So he is the entrenched starter, no question about it, but the behind him is wide open. And now Malik Singleton, a true freshman who went to Grandview High School down there in the Denver area, he's a guy who's really going to get a look now. He was already going to get one, but now he's stepping up there. And then Rook Brown, a kid out of Texas who's a redshirt freshman, he's another guy who's going to get a look. But beyond Keontae Glinton, nobody has playing time at the nickel spot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where maybe a corner, which the Cowboys actually found themselves with an abundance of veteran corners after losing Azeezy Hearn and C.J. Colden to the transfer portal this offseason. They brought a couple guys in from Ja'Cory Hawkins from Ole Miss, Darren Harrell, a Denver native who played his first few years at Wisconsin, and then Cam Stone, a guy who's really solidified his spot at the corner too. So one of those guys likely will probably have to move over at some point to the nickel spot.
We're talking to Cody Tucker. He's our Wyoming Cowboys insider of 7220sports.com. How's your bracket going, man? And I want to get into more specifics from camp and such, but I love this idea. It's fantastic. How's that bracket going? You're voting for the biggest villain, the unsweet 16 you're now approaching.
Yeah, you know, it's been fun, and today is actually Sonny Lubick versus Sark Arslanian, so a couple of CSU coaches there, and of course, we all know the word villain doesn't really fit Sonny Lubick. We know that, but he did go 11-4 against the Cowboys. He won or shared six titles while he was in Fort Collins, and, you know, really, I put him in there not only for that, but the jealousy factor, because Wyoming went through four coaches during Lubick's 15 years where the guy just wouldn't go away. And he was getting offers from huge schools, and he just wouldn't leave. So it's respect is what that is. It's not a villain. It's respect for Sonny Lubick, and he's winning right now. Although Sark Arslanian, of course, is famous for bringing CSU in through the student section in the stands to come out for the coin toss, and the entire team came out and met four Wyoming Cowboys at the coin toss, but the Cowboys got the last laugh that day inside of Hughes Stadium and won 13-3. So, good matchup today.
I love this. Well, you're talking about respect for Sonny Lubick, that it's more of a respect thing, not a villain. Same probably went for Bradley Van Pelt last week, right, when you were in that?
Oh, he's extremely hateable. He all but said the border war was dead and got all these CSU fans all about CU all of a sudden. So, and at that time, Wyoming was really down. So I was just a fan back then, and I'm so thankful the Cowboys handed him his lunch in his senior season and sent him out with a loss and said, told you this is still a rivalry.
But Cody, isn't that good? Don't we love that stuff, though? I mean, even though you hate, you know, you sports hate Bradley Van Pelt, but that stuff, to me, I absolutely love it. I love when, you know, for the Broncos-Chiefs rivalry, Tyreek Hill scoring a touchdown, turns around, does a backflip. I don't love it at the time, but then I love, oh, that's good for sports radio the next day. All that stuff, though, I mean, that's how you really make these rivalries. You just inject some life into these things.
Yeah, and Van Pelt, obviously, is one of those dudes that if he plays for your team, you absolutely love him. He's, to me, like a Bill Romanowski. I hated the guy, a Neil Smith. I hated those guys so much before they came to Denver. And then when they did, it was like, all right, now this creep's on my side, so we're in good shape. So Van Pelt, all the respect in the world to that cat. He was hateable, and he knew it. And, and he played the villain role perfectly.
I wasn't a big, you know, growing up, I was just more of a college football fan, and I liked, believe it or not, I liked both of our main Colorado teams. You know, my dad was a big fan of both. He was obsessed with Bradley Van Pelt, and I couldn't stand the guy for some reason. And my dad, when the Broncos got him for a moment or two, and he was so excited, all we could hear was Bradley Van Pelt talk. So, yeah, I was, for some reason, I was never a big Van Pelt fan either.
Well, I tell you, that hurt my heart when Denver took him. That's for sure. I didn't want to see that happen. Yeah. And then Cecil Sapp and Shaq Barrett and those kind of cats, you know. And obviously, really great players. And a couple of days ago, one of my villains was. It's hard to pinpoint just a dude. So it was the CSU running backs because they always seem to have one. And Cecil Sapp, Steve Bartolo. All those cats were so good, and they were so powerful. Kevin McDougal, just guys like that just drove you absolutely insane, and CSU always seemed to have one.
What about, I think we're mutual friends, Kyle Bell. Where is he going to be on this list at all?
Oh, well, he's in there with the CSU running backs. He was an absolute stud.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for injuries, and you know what's gross is when you get to know these guys, like I have Kyle because he's a big metalhead, and I really like the
exactly.
guy.
Exactly, yes.
He was that close to going to Wyoming. And there's so many stories like that, including on Wyoming's side where Chad Muma, you know, really thought about going there. And then Brian Hendricks, who was a linebacker at Wyoming, his dad and grandpa both played at Colorado State and were great players at Colorado State. So that's the other thing that really adds to the rivalry and makes it really special.
Yeah, I was shocked. I saw Kyle Bell comment on one of your posts or something, and I'm like, what kind of world are we living in? And then I did start putting, I'm like, wait, they both are heavy metal guys. So that now it's starting to make sense.
Brady, don't tell people that Kyle Bell and I are friends, please.
I'm not telling anybody, man. I won't say a word. All right, what else? Now, again, I know your practice viewing is limited, as we say. But what else, you know, according to Coach Bull and just the staff, what else has kind of stood out to you? Obviously, I know we're paying attention to the quarterback situation. But what else has kind of stood out to you on top of the QB thing?
You know, it's a lot of position battles, obviously. The outside linebacker spot still has not been solidified. Easton Gibbs will slide over and take over in the middle for Chad Muma. Obviously, big shoes to fill. But, you know, it starts and ends with that quarterback spot. And I really don't see a way that Andrew Peasley's not the starter next week in Illinois. I really don't. But Evan Svoboda, the big kid from Snow Junior College, he's mentioned, Bull has mentioned his name a few times, and you wonder, they're being so weird about this and so weird about a depth chart. I asked Craig yesterday during his press conference if, you know, any of the punters, the two punters, separated themselves during the scrimmage Saturday, and he said, yep. Okay, are we hiding from Brett Bielma, who the punter is on opening day? I mean, what are we talking about here? So there's just a ton of position battles, and the Cowboys are the third youngest team in the FBS, ahead of only Nevada and Hawaii. So I think he really wants this competition to continue all the way up until the 0 hour, which is only 11 days away in Champaign, Illinois.
Well, it's something to pay attention to for sure, man. Cody, what else are you working on that we can check out at 7220sports.com?
Well, it turns out that nine-month-olds don't really care about your work schedule, so that's been kind of tough. But I'm sitting on about 40 interviews I haven't even transcribed yet, all the way from spring and Mountain West Media Days. So probably just, you know, right now, Brady, just trying to bang out a lot of stuff to kind of let Wyoming fans know who these kids are, because there's a ton of new faces and new places. So. Yeah. And it's exciting for all of us. It's, you know, it's good for us to get to know these cats, too. So that's kind of what's on the agenda right now. And then, of course, next week we break down the Fighting Illini, and I fly into Indianapolis next Friday, and it's on.
Dude, isn't that nuts? It's absolutely bizarre. We're already approaching game week and all of that. So I can't wait for that. You had also posted something, you know, like the excitement factor around Wyoming. Obviously, here, you know, south of you, you look at CSU, it's newness. I mean, even if it was, whether it's Jay Norvell or anybody, there's excitement because it's new. I was talking about several of the teams kind of going through the excitement factor for some of these programs, and some have it because they're supposed to be really good. Some have it because there's a new factor there. Where is that sitting with Wyoming fans at this point? What's the excitement situation like there?
It's just super weird, Brady, because last year they were picked to finish second in the preseason polls. They even got some first place votes and had a ton of – they were the, what, second, I think, oldest team in the FBS last year. So they seemed to have all the right pieces. They were all talking championship. And then it just didn't happen. And it didn't happen in dramatic fashion, like, you know, losing at home and only scoring 3 points against New Mexico a week after CSU goes down there and holds the Lobos to, what, 68 total yards or something? I mean, it just – stuff like that can't happen, and championship teams don't do that. And I think the fans are just kind of – they've heard it from Bowl for 9 years now. And it's time to, you know, man up or shut up, basically, at this point. I think – a lot of fans are just kind of in wait-and-see mode because they've heard it all before. And I think what's exciting right now, though, is there's zero expectations for this bunch, and they're super young. And this is the fun part, right, where some household names start to emerge. And guys that, without a doubt, fans are going to go, well, that guy's really good. He's going to the portal. But, you know, you get to see those kind of guys now, and those guys emerge. And I find that to be exciting myself. And you know, why not? Every time the Cowboys are picked lower, they seem to surprise and they seem to win more than they should. And I really think that could happen again.
Well, we're here for it, man. We're excited to see what all these teams do. As you said, this is the time of year. It's a clean slate. You get a chance to really predict who you think those heroes are going to be of the season, and then we get to watch it all play out. Cody, my man, appreciate you. And, yeah, we did right by you today with the music. We've set the bar, so we'll live up to it.
Thanks for the Pantera, fellas. Appreciate it, always.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Have a good day.
All right, Cody Tucker of 7220Sports.com. That's one of those guys. They're Angel that I like as a dude. He's just one of those guys. He's a great reporter. He's great at what he does. But he brings in something different, kind of a different feel to it. And that's what we want. We want characters. We want entertainers on this program that are bringing you the sports that you want, but in a fun way. Cody's a good dude.
Yeah, I think that week two game they have is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting. What are you thinking on that one, by the way?
Well, from what I've heard from your talks with Cody, that maybe they're not so certain on their quarterback situation.
Strike them. Now's the time to strike.
Now's their first home game, so that's going to be a rocking crowd up in Laramie.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, if you're Wyoming, you can't lose to UNC.
You can, but...
Is that going to happen? Are you putting your prediction on this? Is this happening?
I need to see what this team looks like week one.
Yeah, Houston Baptist?
Houston Baptist at home.
They should win that game, right?
They should. Beat them by like 20 last year.
So if they don't win that game, are we panicking?
Maybe a little.
Okay. They should be fine. Don't worry. I think we're going to be okay there. 35 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 39 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Got this one from Colorado State moments ago. Colorado State men's basketball signed a 6'10 forward center in Kyle Evans. To a national letter of intent. He's from Aliso Viejo of California Santa Margarita, if I could spit that word out, my goodness, Catholic High School, 6'10", /center. There we go. Evans has reclassified into the 2022 class and will be part of the program for the upcoming season. Even better, Susan and Cheryl, we like that. Promise I won't butcher his high school for much longer into the program. But he sounds like a stud. Sounds like another stud for Coach Medved. So we'll see what happens there on the basketball side of things. Man, Angel, aren't you getting pumped, dude? We had Nuggets talk today. We had Mike Brohard talking CSU. And then we had Cody Tucker talking Wyoming and rivalries. And it's time to get back to that stuff, man.
You can just smell it in the air, Brady. Football, sports, it's all coming back.
You can almost smell the grass, and it's not the marijuana cigarettes that you might go buy.
Smell the turf, too.
You can smell the turf. Let's do this. Biggest storylines, kind of just heading in to the end of the seasons, talking about our football teams that we discuss. You know, it's the Broncos, the Rams, the Bears, the Buffs, The Cowboys, hey, let's throw Air Force in. Let's throw them in. So let's talk about that. Biggest storyline for the Broncos. Is it Russell Wilson? Or is it Nathaniel Hackett? New ownership? There's a bunch of storylines there. Because obviously, a lot of X's and O's fans are going to say Russell Wilson. But is that the biggest story for the Broncos?
I'm going to go with Nathaniel Hackett. First-time head coach. Obviously, a ton of challenges in that. But unlike others, you get your quarterback right off the gate. You have your guy.
You do.
You know he's proven. And it's a matter of, can you build a system around him? Obviously, you lost Tim Patrick, your receiver. Who's going to step up in those positions? How's this defense going to look? And you got to deal with this fan base, because this fan base is hungry for success now.
Well, and I think it's interesting, too. I agree with you that it's probably more Nathaniel Hackett. Russell, it's exciting. It's new. But I got to say this. We've been at this dance before. We've done the free agent, not that he was a free agent, but we've done the big-named quarterback making a change later in his career, and it worked, and it was amazing. It was awesome. Two Super Bowl appearances, one victory, and it's still very exciting, but you're also pairing the fact in this is a brand-new head coach with apparently brand-new type philosophies. So I do think that you're right. Nathaniel Hackett is a little bit bigger of a storyline maybe than Russell Wilson, for all the things we just outlined. And we'll go into it. I want to go into CU. What's CSU's biggest storyline is this. It's the quarterback, 100%. Is it Brennan Lewis or JT Trout? You know, can Carl Durrell bounce back? Can he get this thing going? Is he really the guy? There for some reason, there is just no excitement factor for me. I'm going to cover the Buffs. I like Carl Durrell. I am not excited about this program right now. I'm not there. It's not exciting to me. Is the Lonster on the line?
Lonster's on the line.
Lonster, what's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good, dude.
I'm doing good. You know what? On the Broncos thing, I'm going to say it's the new ownership, and then it just worked its way up.
So new ownership for you, then it's Nathaniel Hackett, then it's Russell Wilson?
Yes.
Okay. How about CSU in your mind?
Oh, I tell you what, I think it's getting Jay Norvell in here. I think that is the beginning of a whole new season and a whole new beginning.
I agree, man. It's going to be exciting. How about this one? Our Method Flow Products poll question. Do you think Drew Locke's turning it around this year in Seattle?
He's got to show me. I'm not sold on it.
Oh, Monster, you're breaking my heart, man. I thought we were close. I thought we were better than that.
Hey, you know what? We're still better, but you know, sometimes opinion can be hurtful.
I know. What's for lunch? That's more important today. What's for lunch today?
Oh, kid, are you ready? I had a ham sandwich.
Okay.
Some townhouse crackers and some cherry tomatoes.
Oh, love cherry tomatoes. Lonser, I just picked like 367 last night. So I did. They're all over the place. I just throw them into my neighbor's yards now because I don't know what to do with them.
Hey, you know, you can take them out and sell them, make some extra money.
How much do you think? What is the cost of one cherry tomato? Is it like 3 cents?
I'd say maybe charge 15 cents.
15 cents? How many think that I brought 3 Ziploc bags full? That's got to be like $50 in there.
How much do the seeds cost?
Hey,
I don't
know. What? Go, yeah, really, you know.
I don't know. My wife bought them. I'm going to make all profit. She can buy the seeds and I'm selling them. All right.
There
man.
You go.
Lonser, I'll save some for you.
Get some extra money for all the help you can get there, you know.
I need it, man. I need it. All right, my man. Appreciate you, dude.
Hey, no problem.
All right, honest question. On Joe, and I want to continue on with our talks. Did you like the cherry tomato that I gave you?
Yes, it was actually really good.
They're legit,
it's
dude.
Very juicy, crisp, firm, all good qualities of a solid cherry tomato.
The trick is you gotta let them get to that redness. A lot of people like to get eager and go out there, and they start picking it when it's that mix between red and orange. Mm-mm-mm. You're screwing yourself over, man.
No, but I'm excited to try these spicy pickles you've been
talking
about.
Oh, yes. My grandma used to can pickles all the time. And then my mom started picking it up, doing it. And I would bring them up to college. I'd bring jar after jar to college. And my friends would try them. They're like, oh my gosh, these are ridiculous. So
it's the pickle guy.
It's the pickle guy. And they were the best pickles I've ever had. And so I finally asked my mom like 2 summers ago. I said, do you still have that recipe? And she's like, yeah, yeah, I do. So went all in. This is my third summer. Last year, the goal was 30. We hit 30 right on the dot. This year is to beat that, 34, as of last night. So feeling pretty good.
There you go. That's exciting.
That's a big storyline around my house.
Certainly.
How many pickles will I end up having at the end of the summer? I am getting done, though. I'm totally over it. I don't want to do it anymore. My wife's like, you have to. It's every other day. They grow that fast. It's every other day.
Oh, your weekend's about to get full up again, so
that's true.
Time.
I've got to store them up, man. I'm a little squirrel. I got to store the food in the cellar and be ready to go. Biggest storyline surrounding Wyoming. I mean, is there one? They're looking for a quarterback situation, too.
Can they win six games?
Yeah. I mean, it's just not exciting to me because they had so many transfers. I don't know if they have a stud running back. CSU's just the new, it's got to be Jay Norvell.
Yeah.
Even definitely. Over, like, I love Clay. I'm excited for Clay and Matt Mummy and those guys, but it's got to be Jay Norvell. 100%. If you're just putting person to this, yeah, it's Jay. UNC.
It's the McCaffrey trio. Can they get it done? From coach to OC to quarterback, that name is only going to carry you so far. We got to see some results.
Do people become impatient if it's a failed season this year? Does the McCaffrey name waver a bit? Does that power that it had, at least in Greeley, does it start to fizzle out?
I think more with Dylan and Max maybe than Ed, because it would only take a quarterback to come in and turn the whole program around for it. Not to say Dylan can't do that, but if he doesn't, you're going to have to start asking some questions and whether or not would he demote Max? Would he go get a new OC? Would he go in the transfer portal to find a new quarterback? So questions that Dylan and Max are going to have to answer.
Do you ever get to the point with UNC football where, and you'll pull a Dick Monfort here, where it's like, do we even do this anymore? I mean, if it doesn't work with this McCaffrey thing, and you get to the point where it's not, and again, I'm confident, still confident they can have a little bit of a turnaround this season, but it's been so long. I mean, since they entered FCS, Division I FCS, it's been rough. It's been a rough going. It's been a while ago, I think, since I came up here to college.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting conversation when you look at just the Big Sky itself and the gap in talent, facilities even, between UNC and teams like Montana, Montana State, Eastern Washington, you know, those schools that have the nice facilities, the nice stadium, the talent that go there and the success to show it. And for UNC, it's just a matter of building that up. Yeah. Obviously, you had the success in the 90s, the championships and all that. It's a new era. College football is changing all the time, and coaches and players have to adapt to that. And that's the challenges in front of UNC right now.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what McCaffrey can do. Air Force, the storyline there is how good can they be? Because they are supposed to be really good. Do we have a break? Do we need a break here? I forgot. Are we needing? Or do? Okay. I'm totally lost in the clock again, Angel. Not lost in the sauce. 49 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show. I do. That's Air Force. The storyline for Air Force is, can you win the entire conference? Can you go out and bust some of these big-time teams in the mouth? That's the big one there. 49 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Fun show today. If you guys miss any portion of the program, you know you can get our podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, iTunes, Amazon. There's other things. There's other ways to get it, apparently. There's other outlets out there.
There's a website, I think.
There's a website. There it is, 1310kfk.com. There's also the wholeshow.com. Put together some fun things there, like my deep thoughts from a wandering mind. We're going to load up the videos again coming up very soon as football season approaches. You can see my full list of our Zvi Brewing Player of the Week there. Probably going to be a Bronco again this weekend, but how mad are Rams fans going to be if a Wyoming fan gets up there once? I kind of want to do it just to...
Might have a riot outside.
To rattle the cages.
Who do the Broncos have in preseason this week?
The Bills.
They have joint practices?
I don't think so. I think they're done doing that. I think that was just, they were going to do two with the Cowboys and then just did one, which added more to the whole Nathaniel Hackett's not going to rough him up a little bit. Yeah, that would be crazy if a Wyoming Cowboy gets up there, especially over a Ram. I got to be careful here because we got Clay Millen's going to be in the studio once in a while and can't be talking about Wyoming too much, although he's new to the area, so maybe he doesn't hate him as much yet.
Well, you got to introduce him to the rivalry.
Yeah, it's true. I can. Well, that's my goal. I'm trying to. Rams fans have tweet messaged me. They've gotten a little pissy with me about, hey, why are you doing this? Why are you doing so much more Wyoming coverage? I'm like, don't you want to know what your enemy is thinking at all times? And that's what I'm here for. I'm just here to rattle the cages, man. That's what we're about.
Just got your little stick just
shaking
it against the cage.
Yeah, poking it at people. That's what I do. I'm trying to do more of it. It's fun. All right, busy show tomorrow. We're gonna get into a lot more of the Broncos from camp and what that looks like with Russell Wilson, so we'll have that to hit. We're getting closer. I got to get to CSU Michigan, too. We're not that far away, dude. I mean, it's a couple of weeks away from that opening kickoff and like a week and a half away from Wyoming's start, and Air Force is getting ready to go soon. We got preseason football this weekend, man. It's just crazy times, fun times. Glad to be a part of it with you guys. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. We've got Betting Across America coming up next. 13 days, 13 teams continues. We are about to wrap up this year's portion of that. So that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.